Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, places, stories, and events in our central Iowa community. I am Mike Metz, your host for this hour, along with engineer extraordinaire Mike Murphy and Pat Schlerbaum, our Milford Township neighbor and resident naturalist. Anna Magnuson, alias Anna Banana, joins our bunch later in the hour to share her heart-to-heart messages and tune-in Tuesday messages. Pat, I'll bet you've had your eyes and ears tuned into all these spring wonderful nature sounds that we're hearing these days.
And it's always good to get out, but I've got a bit of caution to share from Erica Place, who is with the Story County Conservation Board. Obviously, this time of year, the trails might become muddy. And I always think when you're out in a public area, only leave footprints.
And take pictures,
and don't take anything else. But this time of year, it might behoove us all to realize that leaving mud tracks and stomping through the trails might be a bit inordinate on their maintenance schedule. So keep that in mind. Stay out of the mud. And for trail use tips and information on other organized trail activities, visit the website storycountyconservation.org. That's all one word. And the trails will benefit from your consideration, but for gosh sakes, enjoy the spring weather.
Thank you, Pat. And we're going to go for a little bit of morning uplift here for a couple of minutes.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. Sweet the rains new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the red garden, sprung in completeness where his feet. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
And that was Morning Has Broken by Cat Stevens And, Pat, I need to let you know that I believe today is National Pencil Day, and I broke the lead on my pencil, so I have to use a pen this morning. But I got that out because we want to welcome to our studio President Rob Denson, the president of the DMAC area, Des Moines Area Community Colleges, and visit with him this morning about the realization that DMAC was named the 10th most successful community college in the nation. Good morning, President Denson.
Yes, good morning, and we're very proud of that. Out of the over 1,500 two-year programs, we ranked number 10 on value, and that which means a lot to us. I mean, we've got the highest bond rating of any community college in Iowa, the lowest property tax levy of any community college, and the lowest tuition and fees of any college or university in the state. And we have got a faculty and staff that is second to none and absolutely focused on our students. And, of course, the phone never rings until you're on a Zoom. So.
Well, you're supposed to quiet your phones when we're in. Well, isn't that what our instructors tell us when we get into lecture?
That would mean I'd have to think ahead on something.
Well, the DMAC is located, you've got campuses located in a number of areas, correct?
Yes, we've got fully accredited campuses in Ankeny, Des Moines, West Des Moines, Carroll, Boone, and Newton. And then we've got centers in Ames, Perry, Southridge, Mall down on the southeast side of Des Moines. And I will tell you, and we're very, very proud of our Ames site. It was the first comprehensive career academy in the state of Iowa, partnering with the Story County Schools going back years and years, starting when John Hunziker used to work with our students in their construction trades. And then the Hunziker family gave us the 5 acres that we're currently occupying there, and then another 5 acres that we'll eventually expand into. And we serve somewhere around 250 to 300 high school students a year, and then probably 500 or 600 Iowa State students, Sci-Ride delivering them right to our building to pick up classes that they might need and couldn't work into their Iowa State schedule. So it is great, and I love going to Ames. And as soon as I get to the corner, the new exit off of I-35 onto 30, seeing the Hunziker Center there really makes me smile. And we're proud of what we do. You know, Iowa State is a phenomenal partner of DMAC. It is by far our largest transfer source for the students that come to us for the first 2 years of a four-year degree. We created the admissions partnership program with Iowa State, first one in the state where a student can actually be admitted to Iowa State when they come to DMAC, get an Iowa State advisor, knowing everything transfers, and they can actually live in the Iowa State dorm, pay a little extra fee to go to football games, but be a full-time DMAC student and live at Iowa State. So, I mean, it's a great relationship, and one of the reasons that both Iowa State and DMAC are so successful.
And that's the success is measured in the ability for those students who may feel a little intimidated, or maybe their time doesn't quite work out for their schedule, where they can't necessarily get into the big university system. So I know I've had a number of individuals that see this as a good transition ground for them, and then they can continue on, or if they choose, can take that 2 years of excellent training and pursue a career that they're interested in.
Yes, about 45% of our total student body comes to us to get a job. I mean, they enter into a 1 or 2 year program, you know, in tool and die, welding, IT, or et cetera. And there are so many jobs right now. Boy, if anybody ever wanted to improve their vocational and professional life, now is the time to do it. The state has actually identified about 50 high-demand careers, and it's under the Future Ready Iowa Last Dollar Scholarship Program, where if there is still tuition dollars owed after you apply your Pell or any other grants, the state will come in and actually pay the balance of your tuition. And I tell you, we've made a lot of students happy. The governor set this up 2 years ago. It is extremely successful, and she's asked the legislature to actually add more money because in the end, we know that about 60% of the jobs in Iowa, and these are high demand, good paying jobs, require more than high school, but really no more than a 1 or 2 year degree. And the community colleges teach directly to the skills that those companies need. So we have a lot of students that come to us and then go to work. And of course, Iowa companies are so good that they generally have tuition reimbursement. So you come to DMAC for a year or two, you get a great job with a good company, and they'll actually pay for your 4-year degree. So, I mean, if you plan it out, it is accessible to everybody.
Well, President Denson, this is Pat Schleierbaum. What are some of those professions that you'd like to highlight, in the top categories?
First of all, anything in healthcare right now. CNA, we've got a great partnership with Mary Greeley. IT is extremely big. You know, and many of our students are working for these companies while they're going through school. We call it work-based learning. So that's good. Diesel mechanics, auto mechanics, tool and die, welding. Many of our ag business programs are extremely successful. So there are a lot of good jobs. Plus, we have short-term training where we can. If you don't have time for a year or two to go to college and you just need a certificate, you know, in office or some kind of software or in some welding or in some kinds of painting, we have those certificates for you also. And as you know, low-income individuals can access Pell. It's federal dollars to help support them going to training. It's about $6,300 a year right now. There's a big move in Congress to open up Pell for non-credit so that many of these certificate programs we've got that do not have credit may soon be available for Pell dollars. But again, the jobs are there right now. And with Iowa's low unemployment, the companies are very aggressive in working with individuals. So money's should not be the issue because of a lot of the scholarship and other grant funds. DMAC, we can scale, we can grow our programs pretty much to meet any demand. Healthcare is our toughest because it is so rigorous and regulated. Our nursing programs probably do have a cap, but we have nursing programs in every one of our campuses and sites. So we can get you in somewhere. But the important thing is, again, if you want to improve your life, just call one of our admissions advisors at DMAC, and they will help walk you through the process. And again, there's never been a better time to improve. Now, if you're unemployed, and there has been a fair amount of unemployment with the pandemic, if you're unemployed, yes, you need to be looking for jobs, but come to us and let's get you into a training program while you're unemployed, because generally you can come out of that unemployment to a better job than you had when you were laid off. So it's just a matter of taking a little bit of time. And again, there's a lot of support, and it's not always free, but there we will apply any dollars that we have or can find to help you get through.
And you mentioned the pandemic. Excuse me. I'm sure that there were individuals who were either laid off or lost their position. And not only with the pandemic, but we're seeing transitions in the energy field, things like that. And I'm sure you're tuned into that. And that's part of the retraining, as I see it. You offer those opportunities for folks.
Absolutely. And again, even with our 1 or 2 year programs, we try to identify certificates along the way because companies are in such a need for skilled workers that many times they will hire our students before they even graduate. They may, in a 2-year program, they may finish a year and Carl Chevrolet will hire them as an auto tech because there's such a demand for auto techs. And I need to give a shout out to our governance structure. The community colleges in Iowa, and there are 15 of them, They're all managed by independent boards of trustees that run for public office every 4 years. So my board of 9 members, they're elected officials. Cheryl Langston from Ames is our trustee from that area. They spend hundreds of hours every year making sure that DMACC stays true to its mission, number one, but also make sure that we are serving the businesses in our area. And I need to say that every one of our programs has an advisory committee of the companies that hire students out of those programs. So we teach specific skills that are specific to the companies in our area. And my best example is that in Marshalltown, they teach tool and die. In Ankeny, we teach tool and die. The programs are quite a bit different because the manufacturers in the Des Moines area want different skills than the manufacturers in the Marshalltown area. So we teach specific to the companies that hire our students. And it's one of the reasons we've been so successful statewide.
One thing you mentioned or alluded to, maybe just doing a specific class or something of that nature. So I assume that would meld in well with continuing education or adult learning capabilities if you're interested in one specific area. For example, when I started beekeeping, I went down on the Ankeny campus for classes down there. I know another individual who was at the Ankeny campus because they were interested in the food services area. So,
yes, we, again, they say you can't be all things for all people. We come pretty doggone close because we run like a business. We create programs based on demand. If there's a company that needs a particular kind of workforce and we've got students that are interested, we will start a program and we can have a program up and running in a couple weeks. And I need to give a shout out to the Iowa Department of Education. I mean, they don't operate like a bureaucracy. They understand why they're here. And if we don't keep, if we don't keep our businesses supplied with skilled workforce, Iowa suffers. If we don't allow our students and those that want to improve their lives the opportunity to do so, Iowa suffers. So our goal is to make sure, and we work with the governor and all our people to make sure it happens.
And it's got to be an uplifting feeling for folks who are a little bit down on their luck as far as maybe losing their job or being laid off and then having that opportunity to improve themselves. It's got to be great for self-esteem.
It is phenomenal, and there's nothing like a DMACC graduation. I mean, right now we've had a few that are virtual, but to have those individuals and to see the look on their children and parents and spouses' eyes as they see their husband or wife or father or mother walk across the stage, I mean, it is so impactful. And again, we're changing lives, and there's nothing better than a good job.
Yeah. One thing I was going to comment on, I know when I was in high school, we had a number of those hands-on skill type opportunities, and it seems like at least I'm originally from Wisconsin, so I know some of the folks I've talked to, some of those programs have either been reduced or eliminated, and I assume that's one of the reasons that DMACC exists is to help provide those skills.
Yeah, and that is why we created the Hunziker Center in Ames, and as I said, it's been a model that others have copied all over the state. These programs are very expensive. The equipment is crazy high, and it's hard to find skilled workers, faculty. So that's why the schools come together. They partner with us. So not only do they get the top of the line training, they're allowed to learn those skills, and it's free while they're in high school. So we've taken over a lot of the shop classes, as we used to call it when
sure.
I came to school. Yeah. And it's just great hands-on training.
Yeah. For example, I took mechanical drawing, and that is essentially gone because of the IT technology. But it's kind of like working with a calculator. It does all those amazing things, but you still need an understanding of what that calculator is doing, what those equations are all about.
Yeah, that's exactly true. I mean, and those individuals that improve their skills, and when the pandemic came, there was a lot of talk about a gap year. And what I said, this is the dumbest time to take a gap year, because when this recovery comes back, and it will, and it's going to come back strong, those individuals that have picked up additional skills during that time are going to be in the best position, because they're going to be at the front of the line when the good jobs are offered, and they're off like a rocket ship. Whereas coming back after a year of laying out and then have to go another year to pick up your skills, you're just putting yourself behind it. And you can monetize that, and how much money you've lost in your lifetime because you took a year off. Get at it, get the skills, and get going.
Be prepared and be proactive as opposed to reactive.
And the secret of life is hard work. I mean, and the harder you work, the luckier you're going to get. And it proves itself every time.
President Denson, is there anything on the horizon that you folks are contemplating or looking at?
We need to improve our diversity, equity, and inclusion. The solution to Iowa's workforce is going to be engaging more of our diverse populations. We are working now in the Latino community, in the African American community, the Laotian community, and saying that so many of their members are hard workers. They've got families. They've got the same feelings that everyone else does about doing well and taking care of your family. Now is the time, whether you're a church, a pastor in a church, whatever, if you've got any congregation members that should improve their lives and they're willing to work, this is the time. Contact DMAC, and we'll get you into a program lining up with a good job. So that's the message. We are all in this together. And when I go to communities like Perry and just see the diversity in that community and eat in some of those restaurants and just meet, I mean, these are great people, and they're part of the Iowa mix. And so we just need to embrace that totally. And so DMAC is recruiting hard. We want to hire more diverse faculty and staff. And it's a process, but we are going to get there. And it will make Iowa stronger. And Iowa, I'm the first native born Iowan to be president of DMAC, and I am extremely proud of Iowa number one, but DMAC number two.
Oh, that sounds great. You obviously have a passion for your system, that's for sure, and we need folks like that.
Well, I walk into my office every morning early and I yell, I love this job. And I think people hear me, although no one's in the building most of the time. So.
Well, open a window. And you do open windows of opportunity and doors for folks, that's for sure. Are there any last things you'd like to tell our listeners, President?
No, just that we will come out of this pandemic. Get your shot. And take care, continue to wear your masks, social distance right now. We are planning to be back pretty much in the new normal by fall. Again, it's dependent upon what the world happens, but the vaccines are very promising. Because of my age, my number was called, so I'm 30 days past my second shot. It feels great, and we're still being careful, but, again, there's never a better time than improve your lot in life than right now. And there are never more people or programs ready to help you and wanting to assist than there are now. So just do it.
Words of wisdom from President Rob Denson of DMAC. Thank you very much for joining us, and wish you luck and plenty of students. I'm sure there will be more going your way and seeking your wisdom and expertise.
All right. Thanks so much, and have a great day.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble. Give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Come on. Always look on the right side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death.
You should have put that in.
Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Well, Pat and Mike and Anna, we are all looking on the bright side of life today. And those messages from President Rob Denson from DMACC were certainly uplifting, that's for sure. If you're just joining us, I'm Mike Metz, hosting Local Talk this morning. And we have joining us now Susan Guiasta. How are you this morning, Susan?
Hey, good morning. It's good to be here.
Yeah, we are starting a little earlier than usual, but this gives you an opportunity to share with our listeners what's happening this week in Ames. I know you've got a guest joining us in a few minutes.
Sure. Did you enjoy the weather yesterday?
I had double rocks in my pockets, and I still blew across the field.
Well, it certainly is warming up, and one of the signs of spring is the opening of Homewood Golf Course. So we're all anticipating that opening on Thursday, weather permitting, which is really exciting. Because if you're a golfer, and I don't know, Mike, are you a golfer?
I have taken it up, but I have other things. I have a heavy schedule.
Well, for those golfers we have, and there are a lot of names who really, really appreciate a course like Homewood, a nine-hole course, they're very much looking forward to the opening of golf season. We have a couple of changes this year that will make golfing a little bit different, at least for a couple of months. There is a slope stabilization project being done, and it's affecting holes 3 and 4. So it's really a 7-hole course right now, and your green fees will be prorated appropriately for your 7 holes rather than the 9 holes. So something to consider. Your game will probably go a little faster. Your score will probably be a little better.
A little better.
Go
ahead and finish, and then I've got a question about Homewood. So
sure. And then also because we have electric golf carts, and the clubhouse is not quite yet done, we don't have access to electricity, so there'll be no golf carts for those first couple of weeks until we get the brand-new Homewood Golf Club clubhouse up and running, and then we can have access to electricity. So just a couple of changes. I know our diehard golfers will be there anyway, and that's great. I see people eagerly awaiting their opportunity to get on the golf course. So it's very exciting time for golfers.
Yeah, we had an announcement a little earlier today about watching yourself on trails because the ground conditions, and I'm sure the golf keepers are concerned about that, the groundskeepers. I noticed there were a few duffers out there on the Veeker course doing a little work. So I'm sure there are lots of folks that are eagerly anticipating Homewood opening. And my question for you was, I was wondering where we were with the clubhouse as far as preparation, but you've kind of answered that.
Yeah, we think mid-April that will be open. And so I'm going to go on a sneak tour this week. I have not seen it just from the outside like everybody else. But I'm going to get a little peek into the inside, so I'll share with you what I learned.
Okay.
Well, Susan, this is Pat. Is the charging station there just west of the Ames Municipal Power Plant capable of charging people's golf carts?
I suppose it might be. I was only speaking to the golf carts that we offer for rent, but if you had your own, I suppose maybe you could take it up to the power plant and charge it off the microgrid.
For well, free.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, for free for now to see, get a little bit more statistics to see how that system is working.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Just a reminder that Stash the Trash is coming up April 9th and 10th. So I was out for a walk this morning, and I know the wind was bad yesterday, and it's pretty windy today, but the amount of garbage blowing around, I couldn't keep up. There was just so much. And this is the time of year where you really notice a lot of that debris left behind after the winter and the snow. You see all the ways that you could just pitch in a little bit and clean things up a bit. If you go to VC Story, which is the Volunteer Center of Story County, vcstory.org, you can learn more about Stash the Trash and the different places. There's neighborhoods where you can sign up or parks and just do a little cleaning. I mean, this is spring cleaning inside and out. This is the time of year to do it. And if you just, I think today people are really going to notice it's pretty necessary, and it would make a huge difference to just spend an hour. If a lot of people just donated about an hour of their time, we could really make a difference.
Yeah, and, you know, along those same lines, I know Pat, I know Mike has done this, I do this. When you're outside, out and about, I always carry an extra little trash bag with me and pick up, because I always like to leave places better than what I found them. And I would hope that if more folks did that, we would have a sparkly community, that's for sure.
Absolutely. That's a great thing to do. I know that there's been a little hesitation this year with COVID. People want to have gloves with them. There's right. Disposable masks are everywhere, and we want to use some precaution. But absolutely, if you can just take a bag and pick up some debris and throw it away, it makes such a difference in your neighborhood and in your community. And, well, I sure appreciate it. So thank you.
Yeah, and the whole thought is, you know, if we help pitch in, that costs us less for our workers to have to go out, our paid workers, to do that kind of thing. So I
absolutely
see that we have Rich Higgins, chief of our fire system here in Ames. Welcome, Rich.
Hey, top of the morning to everybody.
Oh,
nice. Yeah. Start a little bit cooler. We were truly got to enjoy some nice weather yesterday, minus the wind. It was nice to have the warm temperatures and the sun. I think everyone appreciated the sun. I know I did.
Yeah, that's all definitely, especially after the past weekend. Although we did need that moisture, and we still need a little more, but the sun is always welcome. That's for sure. What do you have for us as far as this time of year, Rich?
Yeah, so I thought I'd take this opportunity just to visit with you and all the listeners out there and remind you all that it's a great time to get those smoke detectors tested. We want to test your smoke detectors monthly. But also with daylight savings time, it's a good time to change out those batteries and smoke detectors. So as most of our listeners and as you know, is we require a dual sensor smoke detector in all homes in the city of Ames. That was a requirement back in 2010 that went into place. And really what a dual sensor is it provides you two types of detection in your home. And we encourage people to have, let me back up a little bit and talk about the different types of smoke detectors that are out there. There's two types. There's one that uses photoelectric. So that's a little photo eye in there that if it sees particles go through its little vision screen, it goes into alarm. So think of it as a camera. You're taking a picture of a blank wall. You take a picture again, all of a sudden there's kids running through it. That would set the alarm off. That's how the photoelectric works.
It'd be similar to you coming up to an automatic door, and there's a little detector there that detects your presence.
Exactly. I just use the kids reference because that's how it is at my house. Anytime we're trying to take a photo, one other kid's jumping in the middle, you know, trying to capture themselves. The other kind is ionization, and that's where there's a plate in there, and it gets particles on it, and if it senses a different particle that should be there, then it'll go into alarm as well. So those are the two types. There's also carbon monoxide detectors. And so between those three types of sensors that are available, we need to have at least two of those in a smoke detector in your home. And you can get those at any hardware store. You can get them online. You just want to make sure it says dual sensor. Now, is there one better than the other? I usually encourage people to get at least one of the carbon monoxide and either the photo or the ionization detectors in their home, because we want everyone to have, in addition to a smoke detectors throughout, we want them to have carbon monoxide detectors as well.
Is there, for the homeowner, is there a good place, for example, to put that carbon monoxide detector? Is there a better place in located, perhaps, say, a bedroom or near the furnace area, or do you recommend anything like that?
Yeah, so I recommend that you have one on each level, carbon monoxide detector, and then I would have them by the sleeping quarters. So that way you're alerted if any of the carbon monoxide would make it down a hallway towards a bedroom, you're going to get that detection to get you up and out of bed. A lot of people feel more comfortable putting them in a mechanical room. The thought process is that, well, that's where I have combustion products. If you have a hot water heater that uses natural gas or your furnace that uses natural gas. And that's not all bad either, but sometimes if things are in mechanical rooms and doors are closed, you may not hear those alarms go off. So that's why we really encourage them close to your sleeping quarters, so in the hallway.
If you have to exit your domicile for some reason when those alarms go off, do you have some recommendations?
We do. So we have, it's called Operation Edith, and Edith stands for Exit Drills in the Home. And we encourage families to practice it. This any time of the year is always is a good time to review it. So that's working as a family. It's one of those things we call it primed recognition decision making. And that's the process of when you actually physically go out and do something, that it creates that card catalog in your head that you know what to do and you can repeat it. So that's why we want families to actually do an exit drill of feeling the door. We encourage everybody to sleep with their doors closed at night. It prevents smoke or fire from getting in there and can improve their time to exit through the home. So we practice with our families of feeling that door, making sure it's not hot, of opening the door, seeing if you see smoke or fire, and then also trying to get out of the home, knowing that you need to have a couple different ways out, whether it's through a window, maybe it's a deck sliding glass door, the front door, the garage door, whatever it is. And then last but not least is having a meeting place. That's really important as a family to know where you're going to go. Maybe it's the mailbox, maybe it's the neighbor's house. But that's really where you as parents are going to get that accountability to know that you got all your family with you. Everyone's accounted for because you all met over at the neighbor's house at John's. You're all there. You're accounted for. So when fire or police roll up, you can tell them that, hey, everyone's out of the house. We're all right here and we're accounted for. And that makes our job a lot easier. Then we can go focus on fire extinguishment instead of trying to split crews and do rescue and fire extinguishment.
Yeah, and that's kind of being proactive is always the best thing, that's for sure. And actually practicing those drills are like practicing a skill. The more you do it, the better you get at it. The meeting spot, that kind of thing. I know at my former place of employment, we did that, and we also had a spot. One individual that would call another outside individual to say, hey, everything's okay, we're accounted for.
Perfect. And that's what we want. It's that practice makes perfect. Every team out there, they're practicing all the time. And so we want families to do that too. Don't take this for granted. Practice it. Make sure everyone knows how to get out of a window. Even with my kids, they practice and I help them of getting out of a window. We have a single story home, so that's a little more feasible for us to do. If you have a multi-story home, I would encourage you to look at some type of ladder. They make rescue ladders that you can get. There's other opportunities out there, but those are things to talk about and work through as a family of how you can get out safely.
Great. One more question or comment on the smoke detectors. Some of those are hardwire and battery backup. Is that your recommendation?
Yes. Yep. So any homes that are built since 2010 need to have the battery and hard wire. So it's a nice combination that if you lose power to your home like we did during the derecho, you still have fire protection because you have batteries in there. And that's why it's so important to change those batteries out twice a year, because you don't know when you're going to lose power. And so it's also a good time to test them. And so I see Anna is asking a question. Is there any smoke detectors that don't have the annoying beeping when the battery dies? Well, no, there's that annoying beeping for a good reason to change those out. So that's a great question. And we know we have those. They also make detectors that are a little less sensitive. If you're a new cook or a cook that likes to experiment and maybe produce a little bit more smoke in the house, they have smoke detectors that can actually learn to recognize when it's cooking smoke versus an actual smoke from a fire. So there's a lot of opportunities out there. You just give us a call. We're always available. We also do free installs. If you have a smoke detector and need batteries changed and you have those, give us a call. We'll gladly come out and do that. We're at 515-239-5109. And also, if you're struggling right now, we know money's tight for people at different times of the year. Sometimes smoke detectors aren't the first thing that you're going to do if you're having a hard time paying rent or getting food or clothing. Give us a call. We have a great smoke detector program where if people have donated money, we purchase smoke detectors. We will gladly come out and install free smoke detectors if you're in need. And we try to reserve those for people that are really in need. And our community's done a great job rallying around those who need it, and we're able to get those installed. So let us know. We're here to help, and we love coming out and meeting customers in a non-emergency setting. It doesn't always get to happen. So we'd love to come out, meet you, get your smoke detectors installed, and make sure you're fire safe and fire ready.
That's great.
I can just attest to, I have tapped into Rich's great, vast subject matter expertise on smoke detection. I did not realize they expire, that after a certain number of years, they have to be replaced. And Rich walked through a lot of different options and the advantages of each one, and it was really helpful. So I would certainly suggest, if you have questions, because if you're shopping online or you're in a store and you just really don't know what you're getting and you don't understand some of the terminology, it is really helpful to talk to an expert. And our fire department is filled with experts who want you to have working smoke detectors in your home.
Yeah, thanks, Susan. I'm that person when you're in a hardware store, and if I see you over looking at smoke detectors, I usually come over and just say, hey, what you looking for a smoke detector? Can I offer any assistance? And I usually catch people off guard. I usually try to explain, hey, I'm with the fire department, and I can help you out if you need some assistance. And but yeah, we're here to help out. And they do, thanks, Susan, for pointing out the fact that smoke detectors do have a born-on date. So they're dated when they're manufactured, and they usually have a lifespan of around that 8 to 10 years. We encourage people that they will beep at you when they're at the end of life, but don't wait. If you're around that 8 to 10 year window, be proactive and start replacing detectors. Cause they're not, you know, if you're getting a dual sensor, they're $30+. So you might want to start strategically replacing maybe one or two every couple of years as you get to that 8 to 10 years. That way you're not having to dish out a whole bunch of money to replace detectors all at once.
And it's a good idea. If you put it on an area where you don't see it, I always put a piece of tape with the date of when I changed the battery. It really helps my uncle in his situation. I don't always get to check in with him on a routine basis. So he at least has something to remind him that, hey, Mike's not here to ask me that question, so he can see that tape.
That's great. Thanks for doing that. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Let's talk about, we've had, we're transition season here, and people are anxious to get outside, and gosh, they had to just hold on to their chapeau yesterday for sure. But as folks are working outside with their grills, their little fire pits, that kind of thing here in Ames, Ames does not have, they have an ordinance against outdoor burning, I know. Do you have some recommendations?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for bringing that up. So we do have a recreational fire code in the city of Ames. So we do not allow open burning of leaves or trash, yard waste, anything like that. That is prohibited by code in the city of Ames. We do have opportunities, though, for prairie burns, ditch burns. We have some of those things, but those all require a permit. So we'll have one of our commanders come out, do a site safety inspection, make sure there's adequate water available for us, and that there's no homes nearby for not only the smoke, but also for the potential for fire to spread. And you can imagine yesterday and even today with that wind, it wouldn't take much. In fact, a couple weeks ago out at the horticultural farm just northeast of Gilbert, we had a big wood chip fire that was out there. And that took a good, I think crews were out there about 2 to 3 hours putting out a wood chip fire that started from a small little fire with the wind that picked up an ember and blew it on top of this big wood chip pile that took hours to extinguish. and a lot of resources out there, and lost revenue for Iowa State. Those wood chips were sold, and so they had to return the money because they weren't able to sell burnt wood chips. So the wind causes issue, but that's why we don't have just open burning in Ames.
Sure. I was by the water municipal water plant and noticed one of the crews, one of your crews out there doing a prescribed burn on some of the native plantings. Is that something that you offer, or is that a city operation?
We can help with prairie burns. We usually leave that to the DNR. They have a great program where they come out and they help you manage your native prairies and know when to burn and how to do those things. But that's something we can come out and help with. In fact, we just did at station number 3, we do have a prairie in there and we do a burn every other year to help get rid of the weeds and produce the wildflowers we're wanting to grow down there.
But sure.
We have a great resource on our webpage. If you just Google City of Ames Fire Department, we have it under, it's called our document download. And we have a great informational sheet on our recreational fire code. So we encourage people to, if you want to as a family, if the conditions are right, it's not windy and you can be away from your home a good distance. We require a 15-foot distance from any combustibles. You need to have an adult out there. You need to have some type of extinguishment, and you need to be burning actual logs. It just can't be yard waste or lumber or anything like that. We encourage people to have recreational fires. I know at my home, I usually have 2 or 3 recreational fires with the kids. We get the s'mores out. But we have a whole compliance form on our website that'll help make sure that you're compliant, doing it safely, and that you can enjoy a recreational fire, because we want people to be able to do that. We just want them to do it safely.
Sure. Anything else you'd like to add, Rich, before we close?
This is a good time. Get those smoke detectors checked. You should be hitting that little test button once a month. And then also now's a good time to get your batteries changed out. Save those little batteries for your kids' Xbox controllers. I know I have a whole baggie full of batteries from my smoke detectors that maybe aren't necessarily bad, but they're good for using the kids' toys. And so that way when the noisy toy dies for a little bit, you have a little bit of a reprieve that they don't last as long because the batteries are kind of worn out a little bit already. So that's a little trick, is take those old smoke detector batteries and put them in your kids' toys that are really noisy and loud.
There you go, Anna. If you didn't have a noisy toy.
Yes, I have plenty. That's a great tip.
Yeah. Susan, anything from your end before we say adieu?
Nope, got nothing.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining us. And now...
Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and a drink a rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Well, Anna Banana, what are we tallying today?
Well, I did want to give a shout out to President Denson, because before he came on, I was telling him about an intern that works with ABLUF Iowa, the nonprofit I work with, and Kate Appleton is finishing up her degree with DMAC in human services and is doing a nonprofit internship with us. And I just told him about how great Kate is. And he said, give me her email and I'll send her a little note. So that is a very good president. So President Denson, thank you so much for recognizing one of your students who's doing work on our behalf, doing diversity, equity, and inclusion work for our organization. And he had mentioned how that is a priority for his for DMAC as well. So
that's
thank
great.
You so much for that.
That's great. Yeah. What have you got for us, Anna?
Well, you know, it is Tune In Tuesday as I try and tempt you to listen to KHOI. And I'll start with sharing this heart-to-heart messages that include a bunny poem and a song. So it's called
Well,
the bunny
hop to it.
That's right. It's called The Bunny Pokey. You put your bunny ears in, you put your bunny ears out, you put your bunny ears in and you shake them all about. You do the bunny pokey and you hop yourself around. That's what it's all about. Okay, so that's the first one. And then the second one is called a more serious one called bunnies. Bunnies are brown. Bunnies are white. Bunnies are always an Easter delight. Bunnies are cuddly, the large and the small, but I like chocolate ones the best of them all.
So, Anna, I have a question for you. Okay. When you have your chocolate bunny, do you eat the ears first or the tail first? It tells a lot. It tells a lot about the person.
That's right. So I eat the ears first. And what does that say?
I don't know. You can't hear ya.
Well, this is a good hop in time. And another good hop in time is if you tune in and listen to the Donna Lana Kitchen Show for an encore presentation from 2015. So the dynamic duo, Donna and Lana, will share some very bad bunny rabbit jokes, which is why I gave the bunny poems and song today. Talk about Easter traditions, recipes for various Easter breads, Easter eggs, and tunes to include Here Comes Peter Cottontail, Easter Parade, and the Cotton Patch Rag, a good banjo tune. Also, Donna will share a bit about glyphosate and informed shopping. That sounds quite a mix. So, again, what is this Donna Lana Kitchen Show? Well, Donna Lana Kitchen talks about food, farming, recipes, advice, and opinions. Chef Donna and Farmer Lana explore the local food scene with lively discussion and good humor on Tuesdays at noon and then repeated at 7 p.m. So, Mike Metz, where do rabbits work?
In the hutch.
In the hutch? No. At IHOP restaurants.
And I'll carrot pancakes.
Ooh, that sounds good, actually. And if we hop to 89.1 FM on the dial or visit khoifm.org, this afternoon, what will we find on Science Bites?
Well, there's this old axiom that claims that lightning never strikes in the same place. Well, not. Co-host Sam Wormley and I are going to revisit a discussion we had earlier. We think it's timely for the transitional time of year. We're starting to see some storm activity. And so listeners can tune in, and I'm sure they'll get a charge out of our program.
Nice. So what time is your program again? I forgot.
Yes, 4:30 Tuesday afternoons until 5 p.m.
All right. So one other bunny joke, Mike Metz. What is a rabbit's favorite dance?
The bunny hop.
The bunny hop. That's close. I was going to say hip hop. And you might be able to do some hip-hop dance moves if you tuned in tonight at 8:30 to find out what songs I match to the messages and conversation that are part of the Heart to Heart Messages show. So let me see if you can guess if you'll be popping and locking from me reading the lyrics of one of tonight's songs. To all those fans of Chuck Taylors, and if you don't know what Chuck Taylors are, they're tennis shoes, I dedicate these lyrics to you. She wear the Chuck Taylors, just like her feet been tailored to fit into those laces perfectly. Classy, yet so crazy, knows how to be a lady. She walks around, ain't got no one to please. So, Mike Metz, can you guess the song?
Was it written by Chuck Taylor? Or Love is a many-tailored thing.
Oh, nice. So close, but so wrong. And also, the song sounds nothing like I just read it either. So find out what it does sound like by tuning in to KHOI 89.1 FM tonight at 8:30. My guest will be Dr. Karen Townsend, who I met in Dayton, Ohio. And she now has her own consulting firm, does a lot of work around diversity, equity, and inclusion work, and about gender equity as well. So it'll be an interesting and fun conversation. You can find out why we're talking about Chuck Taylors tonight. Now, a sneak preview to what is ahead this Thursday with another bunny joke for Mike Murphy. So what do you call two rabbits racing down the road?
A rabbit race?
Ooh, that's close. The Fast and the Furriest. laughing at my own joke. That is a pretty fun one. Fast and the Furriest. Ha ha. All right. Well, what happens if we race down the road to Thursday and tune into You Name It?
Well, Thursday is April Fool's, so there'll be no trickery, but there'll just be music about April and music about fools.
Yes. Well, dedicated to me. A fool for April 1 and all things related to KHOI 89.1 FM. Yep, April 1 is coming around the corner, which I do not enjoy because I'm always the person that gets the recipient of the April Fool's Day joke making me the fool. But anyway, so speaking of music, which really that wasn't speaking of music, but check out All Things Piano on KHOI today at 9 a.m. Tom Russell will feature Lullaby of Berlin, Human Nature, and Bach. So that sounds like a good combination to listen to as we start off our morning. And that is a lot of reasons to tune into KHOI. So what else do you got for me, Mike Metz? What should I know? What's happening? What's shaking? What's baking?
Well, you know, it's that time of year, and Pat can probably fill us in on what those wild rabbits, those cottontails, and the occasional jackrabbit are up to, especially in the full moon night. You know, It is the end of March, and there was this, you know, March Madness, I think, came from March hares originally.
Okay. Well, it is rabbit time of spring where there will be young ones. Why don't we put out a cautionary comment that when you find little bunnies in the yard, they about 100% have not been abandoned. Right. And it's best just to protect that site. Leave them be.
Mama's in the area feeding, and she only comes to them once or twice a day to feed them.
Yeah, and so wildlife rehabilitators always get an influx of bunnies this time of year, but just realize that generally the mother leaving them doesn't draw attention to those little guys. So be on the lookout for jackrabbits if you live in Milford Township.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Anna.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Remember that you can also hear it online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI provides a platform for citizens and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI. KHOI is community, nonprofit, nonpartisan media. Live streaming of our broadcast can be found online at khoifm.org.
And this program is produced by Lynn Carey and Ursula Rudenberg and engineered by Mike Murphy. Thank you, Mike. You heard from President Rob Denson, president of DMAC, and also from Rich Higgins and Susan Guiazda. And I have been your host, Mike Metz.
Please consider becoming a member of this fine community radio station with your financial support. Go to our website at khoifm.org and press the yellow donate button to begin the process of becoming a member.
Anna, please take us out.
Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! At 8 a.m. and Morning Masterpieces at 9 a.m. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting KHOI. And
see you again on the radio.
KHOI 89.1 FM, Story City in Ames.